I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 545. Sing zippity doo-dah.
And get over it.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Girl, I've been drinking.
It's not even like...
Don't two. Even say what time it is. Shh. It's 5 o'clock someplace.
Okay.
I'm just gonna warn you. But I'm over 21, so I can do that, because it's legal.
And you're in your safe space of your house, so that's fine.
Exactly. Too. I'm in my own home, in my own recording space.
Ain't going nowhere.
I ain't driving today. It's nothing but delivery coming in my house today. Like, that's what's up.
All right.
So I've been drinking.
Okay, fine.
Because it's summertime, and it's time to make summer drinks and play
it's
some
It's time sport. To make bad decisions.
In your own home, where you ain't hurting nobody.
Right.
That's okay. That's all right. So yeah, I've been drinking.
Anyway.
And I've been drinking bad too, because all I have for a mixer was a wine punch.
Okay.
Fruit juicy rib.
I can't say nothing because I'm drinking my VH Blast Watermelon right now.
Watermelon!
Straight out of the 40 the 64 blue ounce bottle.
Why
if you don't need a dirty drink cup. I don't need a dirty no cup.
You don't need a dirty no cup. If you're the only one that's drinking it,
yeah,
you don't got a dirty no cup.
I mean, I shouldn't say that, because I'm sure if there was any left, my husband would drink it, but I just drink
But there's
it
not going to be any left?
No, because I'm going to drink it.
Right. So, hell. Anyway, right. So I'm trying to have a relaxed weekend, hence the drinking, because it's been a bit since I've had a relaxing weekend. I had planned on this podcast to be talking about the Destiny beta, because I was like 98% sure that I was going to be able to play the beta, get into the beta this weekend before the open beta on the 21st. But that didn't happen, because my Kinect didn't come through. I'm a little upset about that.
Really? I can't tell.
I got some hurt feelings about it.
You got some butt hurt over there?
Not butt hurt. Like, it's not hurting in my buttorial area. And it's not hurting in my heart. Like, it's not heavy, like, you done me wrong and we'll never be friends again. But it's just like, man. Man.
Kind of sounds a little butt-hurty, bro. Like, just a little bit. Like not no. in the booty hole, but like they tapped you, like they're trying to get in the booty hole and they, like poked your butt
above
weird.
Above the knee, but below the hip. It's like thigh meat hurt.
Okay.
You know, that kind of, like, just bugs you when you walk.
Yeah. Well, there are type of butt hurts that happens to. Like, sometimes people just jab you in the butt and it just hits a nerve and you're like, hey, get away from my
yeah,
butt.
Yeah, it's like tap dancing on a nerve. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a tap dancing on a nerve type of hurt, not a butt hurt. Because I'm like, dude, I got you into some things at a show that
one
you wouldn't be able to get into before. Like, no, like twice at the same show. And I know.
Well, you.
Like,
I,
we talked
I guess
about
you
this,
learned
and you're
your
like,
lesson
oh,
now. Stop.
I got you.
Stop
and,
helping
but then
people.
You didn't get me. No, it's in my nature to be helpful because I love humankind.
Uh huh.
Especially when I'm drinking.
Uh huh. Anyway, let's not even
anyway,
go down that
we
got
a bunch. We have so many things to talk about. I don't even know where to start. Okay, because D23 just dropped the mic this past week, so we got a bunch of stuff that they announced that we got to talk about. I definitely want to talk about the new Doctor.
I mean, that's not Disney related, but that is still something.
No, that's not Disney related. I'm just going through like the nerdy stuff that I want to talk about.
Well, you were just like D23 and the Doctor. It's like the Doctor has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, like, follow along. Keep up. D23.
Also,
bunch of stuff.
Also, don't say that too loud because, you know, Disney's like, you know, a powerhouse. They might try to buy the doctor.
Yo,
then shit.
BBC ain't gonna let that go. That's a cash money maker for them.
I'm just saying. But anyway,
okay. And they still not shitting to get off of the pot about the Luther movie. They're like, we're gonna do a Luther movie. I'm like, when, BBC? Because it takes you like 8.5 years like, to do an episode.
I'm like, you need to be careful because Idris Elba is like super hot right now, and he's in the fucking tower, and like,
I know.
Oh my god, like, I had the best reaction to that trailer when I went to go see Spider-Man. Like, when I saw it, and I was like, oh, hell yeah! 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 Uh-huh!
Look,
yeah.
I'm gonna be real honest.
And then I said, real thank honest. You.
I'm gonna be real honest right now. I am so thrilled with what I'm seeing happening more and more in just global entertainment, but really entertainment coming out of North America. It is just so black right now.
It is so black right now.
It's like never been this black in my life. And I just have to like take a minute to like just like absorb it all in. Like the black excellence is just like ridiculous. Okay? Like every day I look at new pictures or just go back and look at the old pictures of the cast of Black Panther and I'm just like, yes, yeah. Jesus.
Not even that. We're seeing it more in games. Like, so this past weekend, they did the beta for Splatoon, and they did a Splatfest, and they were showing the two Well, they showed the new two hosts of the show in Splatoon, because, like, in the first Splatoon, there were two sisters who were, like, co-hosting and stuff. Well, they showed the two new ones for Splatoon, and one of them, she a black... And she a DJ.
Okay, I'm all for it. I'm, like, here for it. Here's my thing, though. Like, I need to find a seamstress because I have decided that I need the Angela Bassett's costume.
Could you even... That heavy-ass headdress, bro.
It depends on what you make it out of.
Yeah, but that's also tall, bro.
I'm telling you right now, I want... That costume, okay. And I want it to go to the premiere of the movie in.
Well, I mean,
I might even just go to work the next day in it. I don't even know, I need it in my life.
Oh gosh, it was pretty funny when I was telling.
It's just so fucking regal.
I was telling my husband because I was talking to some of my friends. I'm like, hell yeah, Black Panther! Like, I'm rolling up in the nines, and my husband's like, can I go? I'm like. Are you going
to
want
to stand
with me?
Yes, but he has to stand behind you, again, throwing rose petals as you walk.
I told him that. I'm like, you're going to need roses to throw at my feet, because I'm a goddess.
Petals,
need to be-
not the rose, not full roses, because that's a bit much and can be expensive. Rose petals. He needs to be throwing petals at your feet as you walk
well,
in.
So then he's like, that's what fine. Would you, like, because I had said I was going to dress in the nines. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, all right, imagine we're in the universe of Empire seeing Black Panther. And, like, we're going to hit up Leviticus after that. Like, that's how sharp I want to be dressed.
Yeah. Like, like black friends listening to this podcast.
They need
to dress.
Dress to impress.
We dressing. So, like, spread the word. Text your friends. Send it around. We dressing for Black Panther.
Put Classic Man on repeat when you're getting ready.
Yo, Chief, don't run. Like, let's do this. That's out the door. Like, we on this. Like, call out of work.
Yep.
Okay,
long live the chief.
Don't bootleg this movie. We paying money, okay? And we going.
I'll tell the Obamas.
Like, all right? Like, serious. Dress like you dressed on Inauguration Day when Obama first became president. Like, that's how big this is. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. And then, like, the hits just keep on hitting. Like, for just a hot second, I gotta talk about Jay-Z's album. And y'all know I don't get down with Jay-Z like that.
You mean 444?
Yeah, I gotta talk about 444. Two things, okay? Because I'm not a big Jigga fan. I wasn't a big Jigga fan before he got with Beyonce. And then I really wasn't a big Jigga fan after he got with Beyonce. I'm being real. I'm gonna be honest. Okay? Like, there were some tracks I liked, but as a whole, like... I ain't been down with the Blueprint, really.
I like Change Clothes.
Change Clothes is nice. Again, some tracks, not a whole album, though. Like, Mr. Carter doesn't move me. But 444?
I haven't listened to it.
Kind of dope. There's definitely one song I can tell you right off the bat that is gonna hit you, and you'll be like, really? But you gotta like throw it. So it's the story of OJ.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, and that's what the song's called. And you should watch the video by yourself.
Okay.
First, a couple of times, because like every other word is an N-word, and like that's real abrasive at first. But when you listen to the story and you watch it as it is revealed,
how did you watch that without punching holes into stuff? Because you don't like that word.
I hate that word. I don't use it when it is being used by somebody in the pursuit of their art. I will temper myself with, you have the right to express yourself in any way. It is not my place to tell you how you can express yourself. But what I can tell you is, I don't appreciate it, how it sits with me, how it makes me feel, my reaction. And that's the whole thing about doing art, is that you create something that is interpreted by people and makes them have a reaction, emotional, guttural, whatever. And, you know, maybe cerebral, and it fosters conversation. So when I look at it through that lens, being very serious for a second, it does what it's supposed to do. Because when you watch the story of OJ and you listen to what it is that Jay-Z is saying, it's from an honest place. And it is going to make you think. It definitely made me have a guttural emotional reaction. And then it made me think deeper and differently. And that's what good art should do. So I respect it for the art that it is. But personally, I still don't like using the word, but it is the word that, to do this piece, you have to use. Nothing else fits.
Okay.
So, I understand. I appreciate the conversation and the message that he's putting out and what he's trying to do, and so I can listen to it, but I don't sing it.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. You know, it's just like, you know, rap songs that are all about bitches and hoes and treating women disrespectfully. I'm a woman. I don't want to be treated disrespectfully. But I do recognize a club track and a booty shaker for what it is and what it's not.
Right.
Okay. And those are the things that I stream versus the things that I buy in my library. Okay. All right. So let's get back to nerdy and black excellence and all that kind of stuff. So Black Panther, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, black excellence to the nines. We going probably multiple times. Let's be real. I'm going to see that shit in 4D, 3D. I'm going to see it in IMAX. If they do a noir version, I'm going to see that in a theater. Like, it's just going to get my money, okay?
Okay.
Because we need to support and prove to Hollywood that, yes, if you have black people out front, not just black people are going to show up to watch. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, this week was, like, ridiculous for nerdy stuff, because the D23 convention went off, and in my heart of hearts, I want to go to D23 so bad at least once. Like, it's one of those things that's on my bucket list. Are you familiar with what D23 is?
Isn't it kind of like the Disney convention?
It's the big Disney convention. So Disney throws this big, big convention, and you can buy tickets to go to, and it's a couple days long. And, of course, they're more than happy for you to extend your stay and stay in Disney World and do Disney things.
Yeah, I ain't got Disney money, Disney.
Yeah, I ain't got that kind of money, Disney. But it is on my bucket list of, you know, I would love to go to D23 at least once, because there's... D23 is the place where Disney announces all of their... Now they announce, I should say, their new things coming in the entertainment realm. So movies that are coming, for instance, it was a place where when they were doing the Disney game, the one with the Toys to Life stuff, Infinity, D23 was when they were announced, you know, the coming figures that were coming in the seasons. It's where they would announce new things that were coming to the toy box. And if you were at D23, you could actually get those things. So like when they announced Sorcerer Mickey, D23 was the first place that you could get it.
Ooh.
Before it actually became available, like, 9 months later. And so there's all kinds of things that happen during D23. There's different shows, and there's also these panels that happen. So, like, if you ever saw that video of Kristen Bell singing Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
in like what appeared to be like this intimate session.
Yeah.
That was one of those small breakouts that was at
D23. They seem to do that with they'll bring their Disney princesses for like a night of Disney and yeah. they'll sing their mm-hmm. songs.
Right.
I've seen them do like, that.
It's another reason why I really, like, for me as a person, a fan of Disney, for all my life, really want to go to D23 at least once. At least once. You know, because I think, like, for a lot of people, at least for me, and I know a bunch of my friends, when you start having the conversation about Disney properties, we all become 10 and 11 and, you know, 9 years old. And, like, there's not a person that I know that's nerdy today that doesn't remember, like, their first Disney thing that they fell in love with. And for different reasons. Either the character or the music or the art. And they were inspired by that to do their other stuff. I don't know any other experience in the world that does that for a disparate group of people. Like, you could travel the globe, and I bet you, if you're, like, sitting in a subway and you start singing the lyrics to Hakuna Matata, there's not a person around you that isn't going to either chime in or smile and clap along. Because it's just, there's something about Disney movies, animated classics, like, pick them, that just always stick with you and kind of keep that kid in you alive, I think. And so having the ability as an adult to just swaddle yourself in that for a couple of days is awesome, right? Because when you're at D23 or when I'm at any conference, like, the rest of the outside world goes away. I don't worry about my bills that I gotta pay. I don't worry about my mortgage. I don't worry about my car. I'm just immersed in this experience here in the now. It's one of the reasons why I'm really bad at, like, taking photos when I do stuff, because I'm not that kind of person. Like, oh, let's get a selfie of us doing this right now. Like, I am so in us doing this right now, I forget to take pictures. I really do. Like, I'm a really, really horrible, what's the word that they came up with for my generation now? Because, like, my generation has a split out. So, like, people born between, like, 1978 and, like, 1983, Zennials. They're calling us Zennials. So we're not really Gen Xers and we're not really Millennials because we grew up right on the bubble before the internet busted. And I'm like, why I gotta have a separate label?
You had an analog childhood with a technology adulthood.
Right. And so they're like, so you're we gotta name you. I'm like, why? I was perfectly fine being Gen X. And they're like, nah, dog. You a Zennial. I'm like, fuck you. Don't even sound cool.
Like, I'm a Millennial, but I'm on the older side of it.
Yeah, you on the low end spec.
So
you 84 baby. Yeah. So anyway, getting back to all the black exes with the Disney did
their big reveal
for the next 3 years of what's coming from Disney Studios. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about is on that timeline, because literally as we were getting ready to do our, okay, so what are you talking about today? Panda was like, we have to talk about this. And I was like, oh yeah, girl, it's on the list because I got the whole list. So remember a few years ago when Marvel unveiled Phase 3? And they showed, like, what movies were going to be coming out in which years.
Yep.
Leading up to the Infinity Wars and through it.
Yes.
Disney did the same thing. Because, again, they bought Marvel. You know, for all that money. And so they did their Disney Studios release schedule from 2017 to 2019. I'm just going to start naming some stuff that's on this release schedule. And I would like for you to try to hold your reaction till I get to the end. Because we're going to talk about a lot of this.
Okay. I'm bracing myself. All right.
So in the 2017 block, you got Thor Ragnarok. You've got a Disney Pixar movie called Coco. You've got The Last Jedi, which they also revealed some new teaser posters, and oh, Jesus, yes. I'm gonna cry so hard at The Last Jedi. All right, so anyway, then there's a Star Wars story that they're doing. It's untitled currently. That's gonna be more in the 2018 kind of back end of the year. At the beginning of 2018, obviously, we got Black Panther, and then we have A Wrinkle in Time, and we're gonna talk about A Wrinkle in Time. And then you have the start of the Infinity Wars with Avengers Infinity War. Towards the back end of 2018, You've got Ant-Man and the Wasp. You've got Incredibles 2. Then on the far end, Wreck-It Ralph 2. They're doing the Nutcracker, Mary Poppins, the live action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then at the beginning of 2019, you got Captain Marvel. You got Dumbo, so I think that that's going to be kind of like in the similar vein of, because I don't know the details of that, but I'm imagining it's going to be like the Jungle Book live action that they did. You've got this thing called Disney Toon, which I don't even know what that is, if it's an anthology or whatever. Then you got the next part of the Infinity Wars on the Avengers movie. Toy Story 4. You've got the last Star Wars movie in the trilogy. You got the Lion King live action, Frozen 2, and the Mulan live action. That's a lot of hits.
Yep.
Okay. All across the emotional fields. Like, Frozen 2, I'm like, meh. But that Mulan, though? That Mulan, though?
Mm.
Like, Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel. That, I hope Brie Larson gets to play her. I want it to be Brie Larson so much. I think she
didn't cast her? They've cast Captain Marvel. I thought it was Brie.
I wasn't sure because I think I saw news about it like on like a fake site that I wasn't too sure about. But I was like, I would love for that to be true.
Yeah, you got to stay off the fake sites.
So, I'd love for that to happen because Brie Larson, I think, would make an amazing Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel. But yeah, that Wrinkle in Time dough and that Aladdin dough and the live action Lion King.
Yeah, Brie was cast.
Oh, okay.
Brie's Captain Marvel, also Sam Jackson's in it.
Hell yeah.
And right now, tentatively, March 8th is the release of 2019. But that Mulan, definitely Captain Marvel. The Avenger movies, in all honesty, after Ultron, I'm really scared. And with the things I've seen of Thor Ragnarok, I'm terrified.
Okay.
That they may not be good.
Why?
Because Ultron sucked. And the things that I'm seeing right now in Ragnarok, it feels less gravitas, save the world, and more campy. And I don't know if that's just the way that they, with the trailers cut the way that they've cut it, it almost feels like Thor's a throwaway, which Thor can't be a throwaway if you're doing Infinity War. And so I have some, in my heart of hearts, I have concerns. I'll leave it at that. I have concerns.
Okay.
About the quality of these movies. Okay? It's like, you've seen all three Iron Man movies, right?
Yes. Well, okay. I shouldn't say that. I watched 1 and 2, started 3, fell asleep, woke up to the epic fight with the girl. I saw that happen, and her kick butt, sort of, and then that. So, yeah. I don't really know what happens in 3.
A bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
Is what happened in 3. And so, I look at the progression of Iron Man movies, and that's kind of how I feel the Phase 3 is going. I feel like they came out swinging real hard, and everybody rested on their laurels, and the subsequent movies are not as good. Iron Man 1 was a good movie. Iron Man 2 was okay. And 3 was just like, y'all done just fucked the pooch. Okay? You fucked the pooch. I don't know why you did this, but like, you had the perfect setup for an amazing movie, and it's like midway through, you got scared, and you just jumped the damn shark. And you, like, what the fuck? Piper is not powerful. You have Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, and then you're going to go and be like, actually, no, he's just like this dude named Trevor, who's an alcoholic and was an actor. The actual Mandarin is this white dude. Like, what? And he's all upset because Tony Stark stood him up one time over pussy instead of meeting him on the roof to talk about his invention. Are you shitting me? Are you shitting me? Really? 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 That's what this whole thing is about? Really? Okay. Alright. You're gonna have Tony make all these suits while he's going through his little anxiety thing, and then have them all self-destruct? Really? Really?
we need the Hulkbuster. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So, and that's kind of what I feel like looking at the Thor movies. Because the first Thor movie was good. And then the second one, I was like, meh. And now I'm looking at Ragnarok and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I just feel like as they get deeper into this sequence, they just... I don't know if the A team is only staying on, like, the first titles and then they throw it to the B team going, okay, guys, we've got to go and get ready for, like, the first Infinity. So you guys run with it. Here's the core guidelines. Go. Maybe. And, like, nobody watches them until they got a final movie and they're like, ah, shit. Well, it's done. Put it out there. Like, that's what it feels like to me in looking at some of these subsequent movies. And I'm just like, y'all got to stop it with this bullshit. So anyway, so coming out of, like, the schedule announcement, like, I'm excited for the Mulan movie. I'm excited for Captain Marvel. I'm not really excited for the Nutcracker. Mary Poppins, I would have been so much more excited for if I didn't know about Into the Woods and what they did with that. So I don't have a lot of faith there.
Okay. So, I mean... There was a misstep. There were like four.
Yeah.
Actually, there were four missteps. Mm. Really big ones.
And Into the Woods. Juice while you say that. Uh-huh.
There were like four pretty big ones that were like, ooh, why'd you remove that context that completely doesn't just... Anyway, it doesn't matter because we could talk about that till the cows come home.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
But...
that's our drama nerd podcast that we just haven't started up yet.
But yeah, so there were some missteps there. And then Pete the Dragon, they released it, got no coverage. Don't know if that was a good movie or not, but I'm assuming since no one talks about it, nope, probably wasn't. Which is sad, because I was so looking forward to Pete's Dragon.
Yo,
but
Do you know the hours we spent
watching
Pete's Dragon?
Yeah, I know, which is on my, return to basics. And then they fucked it in the butthole and didn't even
take it up for dinner.
Didn't even make them a hot dog before the butt hurt. Like, didn't even offer, like, a snack.
Take me out for ice cream or something, shit.
But nothing. And it's sad because I loved Pete's Dragon, but they messed that one up.
We loved Pete's Dragon.
Okay, we.
Okay, and we shouldn't because it's really not that good, but goddamn, the songs are good.
Oh my gosh. Like, I could go back and just watch it. No one can
anyway,
be bad. All right,
but we got to get back to this Blacknificent conversation.
Yeah.
Because there's also an article that I read that I want to talk about as well on this tip.
So,
Wrinkle in Time, though.
I want to leave Wrinkle
First
in Time.
First of all, Lord Oprah. Can we talk about Lord Oprah?
Quickly, before we get into Wrinkle in Time, because they announced Aladdin. And they've been naming the cast for Aladdin for the live action, and Will Smith is going to play the genie.
And they're struggling to find somebody to be Aladdin. Wait, what did you just say?
So they found someone to be Aladdin. They found somebody to be Jasmine.
Wait, who's Aladdin?
He's like I think he's a newcomer. I don't think he's an established name.
Jesus fuck! All right, go ahead.
But he cute though. He cute, though, so, like, I could see how he could be Aladdin. And the girl who's Jasmine, I think she's been in some other Disney things, but I don't know what her name is either.
It's not Zendaya, is it?
No.
All right. I'm just saying.
Because now she's Michelle. She's Michelle.
I know she's
Marvel.
Michelle, but I'm just saying, like, no. Disney's like, we got no, this they, well, and she they, hasn't done any nudes yet.
They legitimately got a girl that looks, and I'm not exactly sure how to
Middle
say
Middle Eastern?
Yes. They both do, so that works.
Because they should look Middle Eastern. It's fucking Aladdin.
You're right, sis. You're right. But the thing, the big takeaway...
Ryan Gosling should not be Aladdin.
No, and he's not. He's not.
And I love me some RG.
Me too.
Okay.
But the big announcement out of the cast that they've announced is that Will Smith is going to be the genie.
I'm sorry?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
Yes. And a lot of people are like, I don't know how I feel about that because I feel like it's too soon, yet it's also maybe just not the right time.
Look, here's my thing. Okay? I want to jump out all over this because there are just some things I feel that if they're perfect, you just need to let them be.
Okay.
And I feel like not every animated movie that you have, Disney, should become a live-action movie. Okay, like, I don't give any fucks whatsoever on the Jumanji remake.
Like, me neither.
That did not need to happen. Now, Lion King, I appreciate
Lion King. I'm here for
Jungle Book. Jungle Book.
Yep,
was fine because I think they
and like Mary Poppins for me is like on the line. And the reason why I say that is I think that, you know, for your older classic movies that were more live action with animation thrown in, it makes sense to me to do a new live action version to introduce those properties to audiences that probably have never been exposed to them. Okay? Like, I'm with that. Okay, so bringing Mary Poppins back and Jungle Book back and doing it that way and, you know, doing Lion King, okay? Because, like, I take for granted how, you know, old Lion King actually is and that there are a chunk of kids that, like, their first exposure to the Lion King was, like, the direct-to-VHS DVD 3.
Oh, that's sad.
Like, that's not how you should experience Lion King.
Those poor kids, they should have at least seen Lion King and a half.
Like, yeah, seriously.
Like, at least that's most of the movie, just from a different perspective.
At like, the minimum, like, that's where you should be. But, like, and even to an extent, Dumbo. Because, again, there's a lot of people today who have never seen the original Dumbo. So I get those ones, okay? But when you start getting into to the space of Aladdin, where... Again, it is also old, but there are things about it that you just can't capture or recreate. Like, you need to call a line at some point, and I know money talks real big, but you gotta call a line at some point of, like, we can't touch this. And for me, things that Robin Williams did that can never be recreated by anybody on this planet shouldn't be recreated. Like, I didn't like the first Jumanji movie, but there was no reason to do another one. Just let that Robin Williams thing be. Just like, don't reboot Mork and Mindy. Don't redo Dead Poets Society. Don't redo Aladdin.
I think they kind of redid Dead Poets Society with Dangerous Minds, sort of.
Similar plot. I mean a straight reboot. I don't mean like a spiritual successor type thing. I mean, like, a straight reboot. The Jumanji movie is a reboot. And they upped it to be current time, so instead of a board game, it's a video game.
Oh my god, can we...
And I love The Rock, but, like, come the fuck on. I am not on board at all with Will Smith as the genie.
I don't think he's funny enough. I don't think he has the
strong... I haven't seen Will do ad-libs.
Right.
Even close.
I don't think he has
I would go with Kevin Hart before I would go with Will Smith.
He'd be too hard, though.
Ad-lib like a mofo.
He's got the comedic timing, but I think his persona is a little too... this is going to sound really bad.
What the fuck is Will Ferrell doing? We know Will Ferrell can sing. We know he can ad-lib. So,
why not?
Jason Sudeikis doing? What is Jason Sudeikis doing? Hold on. Have you ever seen any of his, like, Second City ad-lib stuff?
No.
Jason Sudeikis can be mad fucking funny.
Okay.
Okay?
But yeah.
I'm just saying, you need a comedian. And I'm sorry, Will is not a comedian.
No.
Will is an actor.
No. But anyway, they're casting him. So, I'm a little worried.
I'm not here for that black excellence.
Hey, you know, he's doing him.
Yep. All I'm going to say is hashtag After Earth.
But anyway, moving right along.
Okay, but wrinkle in time, though.
Wrinkle in time.
Okay, so now we can talk about Lord Oprah?
Yes, Lord on High Oprah.
Oh, almighty on high. Okay, like, I have joked for years, okay, about Oprah being, I don't really have any better way to say this, it's gonna sound really racist, but, like, I can't.
You know what?
Super Negro. Okay? And what I mean by that is, like, you have somebody who had nothing, who through just the sheer will and hard work, putting in the time, putting in the effort, being in the right place at the right time, built their own fucking empire. Okay? Oprah built an empire. And to do that as a black woman is amazing. Like, for me to be able to watch Oprah go from, like, TV news anchor girl to having her own production studio, her own magazine, her own fucking cable network channel.
To be nominated for an Oscar.
Okay? Like, serious and for real. Okay? That's an amazing thing for a young black girl to see another smart black woman do. Because until you see somebody do it, you don't know that it can be done. That's right? Right. Okay? And Oprah did the damn thing. And there's a bunch of things that, like, I don't agree and with
I
Oprah.
Mean, I would say she really set the trail. Like, she put her foot, her prints in the sand for others to follow.
She reaffirmed for my generation and hopefully the generations that came after me that, yes, dark-skinned black girl, you can do this. You can have these things. You can be revered. You can be successful. You can make money. And you know what? You don't have to subscribe to anybody's societal norms. Yeah, I got a boyfriend. I'm gonna have a boyfriend till I die. I'm not having children. I'm not getting married. By the way, I make money.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? Like, that is a extremely powerful thing to feed to a young, dark-skinned black girl. Okay? You start hard being able to believe in yourself because you're like, shit, Oprah's doing it every damn day. Every damn day.
She's the original OG.
Okay? So for me, the win free is on a pedestal. But it's a different pedestal than other people because I think a lot of people look at her as, you know, just the media mogul or, you know, just a shrewd businesswoman. And I wrap all of that in also black because, man, I don't have a lot of those that I can put on a pedestal currently today that don't fall from the pedestal because of some stupid stuff, right?
Right.
Like, there's not going to be an Oprah Winfrey scandal, y'all.
And you know what? And the things that I think people try to nail her for, she already put out in the open, like, this is my life. This is what I've been through. I have no secrets from you. Like, I'm not hiding anything.
And that's admirable to bear yourself like that, because, man, there's stuff in my closet I don't want nobody finding out about. But it is very empowering. So, like, Oprah's not the oracle for me, but man, oh man, that's a pedestal person.
Is she pretty close?
Okay. Right? And so I make jokes and crack things all the time about Lord Oprah, Winfrey Almighty, okay, as like this just powerful being over here. So when I heard that Ava DuVernay was putting her in Wrinkle of Time and is one of the goddesses, I was like, are you?
Not even just putting her in. Like, she's been in the works, I think, since like 2009, like writing this script. And literally when she was talking about the divine beings, because I think Ava at first was like, by the way, I want different body types, different age types, and I want, of the misses, she's like, I want one white, I want one black, and one that is neither. And she already's like, and for the black, I already know who I want. So, like, she was already gunning years ago, 9 years ago, for it to be Oprah. From, I think, an interview that she did with the reporter, I think. She was like, oh, yeah, I'm going after Oprah. So, we just didn't know which Mrs. W at the time. Though we do now know which Mrs. W she is in The Wrinkle of Time.
So. Right? Like, I just, okay. So, first of all, I can't even remember the first time that I read A Wrinkle in Time. I want to say that I was like 8 or 9. And I loved that book.
I read it in school. They made me read it. So I was forced to read it. And then I reread it later, and I was like, oh, I think I have a better appreciation for this now that it's not something I was forced to.
Like, you know, things that are school reading versus things that you choose to read, that there's a big difference in how you appreciate them. I also do think that at the time that you read things, there's also a different appreciation for them as well.
I agree.
So, you know, there's that. So I read it, I want to say, when I was like 8 or 9. It wasn't school assigned reading. I think 1 year I had been given a list and they were like, here are all the books that we want you to read in the summer, and like things were optional. and I took a list from like a previous year because I like to read. And I'm like, I'm just going to read something off of this list. And that was the book that I picked. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed the story so much. But it's one of those books where like when you get older and you think about it, or you're in conversations with your friend and you're talking about like great things from your childhood that would make great movies, A Wrinkle in Time was always one of those things that never came up for me because I didn't really think that like anybody could do it justice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there are just some books that it's so hard to envision, even with all the special effects stuff that's available like, now, like, which is mind-blowing.
Like Hitchhiker's Guide. Like, I loved Hitchhiker's Guide. And when the movie came out, like, I wanted to be like, I'm all about this. And don't get me wrong, like, Mos Def, I think, did a great job in his role. But that book has so many things going on. And, like, the movie couldn't even capture, like, a fourth of the things that you read in The Hitchhiker's Guide. So, like, they really kind of streamlined that story to make it movieable. But there are all these little nuances.
Right, exactly. You know, there are things that jump out to different readers in different ways as being as important as, you know, the main plot points of things or main characters' motivations. And so it's hard.
It's hard.
To take a book and make it a movie. And so I, like A Wrinkle in Time is one of those books that I never thought would be a movie. And so when I heard that, you know, Ava had been working on it, I was like, oh, Lord. Black Girl Magic, please don't let me down. And Ava doesn't let me down, but I'm like, this is a tough one. Like, this is a tough one to take on and do. And I'm like, because, like, who are you going to cast? And I immediately start running through my mind, like, okay, you know how Hollywood works, Rochelle. So, like, they're going to be looking for, like, who's the hot it guy? Who's hot right now? To try and get them on to, like, bring box dollars in and box office dollars in, and they may not really be the right move at all because, like, for the character, what you need is a this. And, like, in my mind, I shit you not, the first thing I was like, well, obviously Oprah has to be one of the goddesses. I was just like, I don't know, like, who, but, like, she needs to be one, man. And I'm bouncing around or whatever.
But it's weird, though, because the Mrs. W that she is, I thought in the book she didn't really have a corporeal form. So, like, they could have gone anywhere with, and if you haven't figured out yet, she's Mrs. Witch.
Yeah.
And in the book, you...
And I'm okay with that so much!
And she only gets a corporeal form, like, legitly once in the five books. Ever. Because all the other times, she's pretty much just glitter in the wind. Like, she's just, like, a non-shape, like, thing, being. So you don't ever really see her. So it's really kind of, you know, interesting that this is the avenue that they took. But I'm very excited for that.
Okay. Very excited for that. But even in the conversations, like, she has, you know, the corporeal form. So, like, when I heard, okay, that the W's were going to be Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling,
she's
Oprah.
She's, I think Reese is Mrs. What's-It, and Mindy Kaling is Mrs. Who.
Is Who. Yeah. Right? So, like... At that moment, like, just knowing that, before you get to the rest of the cast, okay, I'm like, Ava DuVernay and some of the most outspoken, strongest, successful women, period, in North American entertainment today are in this movie, okay? They all have their own production companies. They all make their own money. They are unapologetically them.
Yeah.
And strong. I'm just like, Jesus, I don't know how I can absorb all of this awesome. And then the rest of the cast comes out and I'm totally.
Yeah, who do we got? We've got Zach Galifianakis on there.
Yeah, he's the happy medium.
Then we have
Chris Pine
as
he's Dr. Dad. Murray.
Yep. And then we have who's the red-eyed guy? I feel like I should know who he is. Like, I think I've seen him, but I'm not...
Red?
Yeah, the guy with the red eyes.
I think that's Michael Pena. I'm not sure.
But, like, and I think the thing that really, like...
Storm Reed. Let's talk about her. Let's talk about Storm Reed. Let's talk about Young Black Girl Magic.
Like...
I don't even know if I can with this right now. This movie looks amazing. And I knew that Ava was going to deliver the goods with how long she took on the script and, you know, looking at who she cast for whom and why. But when the trailer dropped, I'm like, no joke. No joke. I was in a meeting. I excused myself from the meeting. I said that my husband had called me. Excused myself from the meeting and went to the ladies' room to watch the trailer. And when I saw Oprah, like, in her full makeup, you know, the scene, the piece that they show you where she has, like, all the gold, like, gem things as her eyebrows, above her eyebrows.
Yep.
And, like, has her amazing, like, what I would imagine Storm would look like if she made it to old age. Because that's what she looks like. To me, she looks like Storm from the X-Men, like, in her 60s. Just regal as fucking all powerful. And, like, I'm not gonna lie, I got emotional in the bathroom.
Aw, bro.
I did. Like, I got, like, a little misty. The tear didn't drop, but I got a little misty. Because, like, it just all kind of hit me at the same point as I'm watching this with, like, to me, right now, there's a lot of stuff going on. You get bombarded in the news and things like that that are really, really scary about what the future may hold. And we use entertainment as an escape. Video games for me, and the main reason that we started this podcast is because video games was my escape from the stress of the day and everything that was going on. In these worlds, I can control my own destiny, and I can play with other people and have this shared experience. And for, you know, a few moments or an hour at a time, I can escape, like, all the real-world stuff that really weighs on me, right? So entertainment is that escape. It's the moment where we can come out of ourselves and see something fanciful or experience something scary with no danger to ourselves. But we do it in a way where it becomes a shared experience with our friends, our family, or a greater community that enjoys the experience as much as we do, right?
Right.
Which is an admirable thing. But for the majority of my life, the protagonists, the leads, the things that you're given to aspire to, the heroes, the powerful gods, and all those things that are projected in these mediums primarily didn't look like me.
Or me.
You know, they exactly. They weren't a reflection of me. Right? They weren't somebody that I could really aspire to be. I could aspire to be like and characteristic with them, but, like, as far as the look and how they carry themselves, I'm like, those aren't things that I can aspire. I can't carry myself like a Caucasian sorority chick. But you show me some AKAs doing some amazing things, and yeah, I could be that. So it just, like, really hit me really hard, and I felt, like, so silly, but also at the same time not, where I'm just, like, running through my head, and I'm like, wow, think about this. Luke Cage and that popularity, Luther, like, Idris Elba is everywhere. You know, we looked at the trailer for The Tower. You know, Black Panther, like, everybody and their cousin is so hype. And this movie doesn't even drop until February. But it's in the middle of Black History Month when it drops. Like, I don't even know how you get more spectacular than that. Okay, and it's the 18th, which I can't remember, but that's close, like, President's Day weekend. So there's, like, no reason that people shouldn't show up to see this flick. Then you've got Wrinkle in Time, and then my brain just starts going down the cycle of, like, all the amazing other minority-led programming that's out right now that is finding its audience, finding its voice, and being unapologetically authentic to themselves, having success. And it's just, like, it overwhelmed me that it was successful, because A Wrinkle in Time is going to be successful. A shit ton of people are going to go see this movie. A shit ton of people are going to go see Black Panther. And it's just going to open more doors for more people. And I think that's probably why I got emotional, because I'm just like, doors are going to be continuing to open now. There's going to be more. There's going to be somebody sitting in a theater watching Black Panther, not going, wow, this is an amazing superhero, but, like, I want to make something like this. It's going to inspire directors. It's going to inspire actors. It's going to inspire writers, content creators. Like, it's going to inspire so many people. Yep. Within my community.
There's that no turning weren't inspired back now. Before.
You know, and it's just a great thing to be able to bear witness to that. And that's kind of why I got a little emotional. But also, fucking Lord Oprah on high. Oh my God. Like, every time I see her in the movie, And the last thing that I had watched Oprah in was The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, which if you have not watched that on HBO...
I have not seen that yet.
Get tissues, fix your life, and do that. Oprah is a really good actor. So I have no hesitation, reservation whatsoever that Wrinkle in Time is going to be awesome. And then the trailer is just like, boom.
By the way, I'd like to say that I love their choice of song for their trailer, which was The Sweet Dreams, but it's the Emily Browning version that we heard in Sucker Punch, which was not a great movie.
Sucker Punch, not a great movie, but Sucker Punch does have a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, so like
whatever. Like they scored that movie fantastically. The movie just sucked.
Yeah. So I was like, ooh, I'm like, this works. This works on several different levels. Too bad it couldn't do this for Sucker Punch.
Seriously, like, the nerd level right now is amazing. At D23, they also showed off some of the figurines of, I always call them the Children of Thanos, but it's the Black Order. And it's basically all of Thanos' high-level right-hand men and women. As much as I want the Hot Toy Wonder Woman, which is another thing that's on my bucket list, is to have a Hot Toy figure. Because dropping $700 on a figure is a little difficult to explain to your husband.
I can't do it. Nope.
Yeah. So I don't have one yet, but that Wonder Woman one, though, oh, man. And the Ray that he did, oh, man. On my bucket list is to get a really good, fantastic figure to put on display. Like, I want a signature piece. And that's why I always thought that it would be the Hot Toy Wonder Woman that would be my signature piece. Because I'm looking for it. That's going to be the thing that I build the display around. And that gets built in the forever home. But, like, those figures, especially Proxima Midnight, oh, man. They look good. I'm just, like, it's just a really good week to be a nerd. Like, they announced the new Doctor on Doctor Who, and for my Whovians out there and my non-Whovians out there, it's okay. I'm not going to go into deep on this.
I'm kind of mad that they're like, oh, we'll tell you at the end of Wimbledon. It's like, bitch, I didn't want to watch no tennis. Now you're making me watch tennis.
You don't got to watch tennis. Just pay attention to the internet. Because as soon as it came out, everybody and their cousin was sharing the trailer. So did you ever watch Broadchurch?
No.
Okay, so do that. It's really good. On BBC America. I think because it's on BBC America, it may be on Hulu. Okay. Possibly on Netflix. The new Doctor is a woman.
Yes, I know. Jodie Whittaker.
For the first time.
I know.
Ever. And like, all the so again, like, it's just a good time to be like a female nerd. Especially if you're black. But even if you're not, just female nerd in general. Like, it's a good time.
Like.
The Doctor's a chick. Oprah is Mrs. Witch. Okay, Ava DuVernay is, like, just blowing up and doing all kinds of things. The next season of Empire is going to be off the chain.
Oh, my God. I know, right?
Okay.
I have no one to talk to Empire about. Black Panther's, like,
right behind it. But it's just a really good time to be a nerd right now. You know, the lineup that Disney shared is really strong. And there's something for everybody in there. Like, I really need at this point for them to not fuck up Incredibles 2 and Wreck-It Ralph 2 like they fucked up Cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because Incredibles is near and dear to my heart. Like, it's one of the few Disney movies that, like, at any point in time when somebody's like, I don't know, let's watch something animated, the first place I go is Incredibles.
I'm surprised it's not Up for you.
Up is a bit more emotional, so, like, if I'm with friends and, like, I don't know, let's do something animated, nobody wants to be brought down. And Up is an amazing movie, but is definitely very much an emotional movie. And if you're going through anything in any kind of relationship,
right,
Up is not the movie to watch.
Or at least not the first 20 minutes of it.
The whole movie is not the movie to watch. The first 20 minutes will really crush you, but it's not the movie to watch if, like, you're going through some stuff. Like, Incredibles, yeah, you can. Even if you're going through some relationship stuff. Because it's lighter. It's there, but it's lighter. But supposedly Incredibles 2 is going to focus a little bit more on Elastigirl.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So, you know, I'm curious to see the thing. So the final thing from D23 that I'm going to bring up that we got to talk about. Bro. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I would use air quotes. Those aren't a thing, but I'm using them. I'm also using my incredulous voice. But supposedly, Kingdom Hearts 3 has a release year. Can't call a release date because we ain't got a date in the year. But they released a new trailer that showed a Toy Story World. So correct me if I'm wrong, bro, but isn't it the first time that you've had a Pixar world specifically in a Kingdom Hearts game?
Yes. I think so, yes.
Because, like, there hasn't been, like, a...
Because, I mean,
Bug's
like...
Bug's Life or...
No Bug's Life.
So I think this is the first time that you've had a Pixar world in a Kingdom Hearts game.
Yes.
The trailer was amazing. Like, the speed at which things were moving around and, like, Sora was, like, keyblading, the keyblade morphing into stuff to become, like, guns and multi-guns and shit like that was kind of cool. But they get through all of this stuff and they show this world with Woody and Buzz Lightyear in what appears, I think, to be Andy's room. Battling stuff. And I'm like, cool. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, tease me, like, coming soon, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, coming in 2018. And I'm just like, are y'all for real? And like, my social feeds blow up. They're like, we've got a release date.
We have a release year.
I'm like, no. And frankly, we've had multiple years where they were like, next year. This is literally them saying next year, but this time they said 2018. Unless you give me a date.
I want a month and a day.
It's not a release date.
I want a month. I want a day. I want the year, and I want the timestamp, motherfucker. I want the timestamp.
Okay, I want to know what time. What time? I want to know PST. I want to know EDT.
I want to know the date that Japan gets it. Yeah, I want that date.
That's the date I want, because then it's real.
Real. That's what I want.
You right. I want the Japanese release date.
Because you know they're going to get it at least 2 months or so before we do.
Yep, for localization purposes.
Yep. So I want to know that date.
So I want the Japanese release date. And I want the month and the day and the years, motherfuckers.
I also want the time. Is it coming out at 2 p.m.?
That's a lie. It's not coming out at no 2 p.m. That's a lie.
I want it.
It's coming out at midnight.
But I'm just saying.
You gotta be able to do digital.
I'm just saying, I want it.
But, like, it looks good, but again, I have learned... Okay.
Square Enix Last Guardian taught me. Ain't too many times. Okay. Too many times.
This game done taught me too many times. Because correct me if I'm wrong, sis. Originally, when they first put the first note out about making Kingdom Hearts 3, wasn't that shit due, like, oh, I don't know, 6 years ago?
I don't want to relive it.
Okay, but it was a while ago. It wasn't four years ago.
There was some time.
We've been waiting more than 4 years for this game. From, like, when they first teased that it would be coming out.
Like, the ice cream that I bought when they first told us
because
we were getting it.
Because wasn't it teased around the same time as they announced Last Guardian? Wasn't it that E3?
No, I think we got inklings of Last Guardian before they even, like, hinted the sprinkling of Kingdom Hearts 3. In all honesty, because I think around that time there was, like, stuff like on the Reddits or whatever was the before Reddits, the proto Reddit, where people were like, they're showing these weird pictures of, like, people who are definitely in the universe. And then there was the random video that came out after the after they talked about Last Guardian with the whole, you know, Keyblade War and shit that made people go lose their pants. But I've learned, because Square Enix likes to break my heart. And then I try to piece it back together to be a strong woman. And I keep going back like a fucking idiot. But I'm not until I get a Japan release date am I even...
It was confirmed in development
at E3 2013.
Oh my god. 5 years.
Okay, but concepts for the game were floating around as early as 2006.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, announced in development 2013. Supposedly.
Right.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Coming out 2018.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Wait for that push date. Wait for it!
Like I said, not until I get that Japan date will I know it's real.
Because so. I don't believe. I don't believe.
Nope. By the way, I hope there's a fucking fly level. Because I want to fly like it did in Peter Pan, yo.
I'm just saying. Oh, you know there's going to be a Peter Pan level. Every Disney entity except for Song of the South is going to get touched.
And even then, you're going to hear the whistle from Song of the South, but you're never going to go there. It'd be like, everything the light touches. But what about that? Yeah. That's Song of the South.
We don't go there. I thought it was really funny because they made Disney, as part of the celebration, Oprah became a Disney legend. So, like, you know, their Pantheon, like, Lifetime Achievement, you know, award thing. And at their award ceremony, like, she gave a speech. They also made Whoopi Goldberg a Disney legend. And I was, like, so taken aback. Because in Whoopi's speech, she basically was like, by the way, stop running for your history and let the Song of the South out because you did it. So, you know.
You know, we haven't forgotten it.
Yo!
It's like, look, guys, Whoopi. We know you did it, okay?
We know. Some of us remember.
Right. So, like, there's no point in hiding it because it's the only thing under the rug and we can clearly see the imprintation. Like, we see it.
Okay. And, like, look, let's be real. You can put that little disclaimer in front of it all you want for as a reflection of its time and whatever, but we know what it is. Stop playing like you didn't do it.
We all have that grandma who's just a little too racist, okay?
Right.
We all got one. Song of the South is your racist grandma, Disney.
You can't hide her. Don't try to put her in the attic.
You can't, because we hear her. In our dreams.
We can hear her.
Just a step it and move on.
Bring her down from the attic. Let her get her son on her racist ass face. Maybe it'll make her be in a better mood.
And then make her watch Princess and the Frog.
No, don't do that because you don't want to. You're not prepared for that diatribe. You left her in the attic too long with just her racist ass self. So, don't do that. Just, you know.
Let it be.
Put on Turner Classic and let her go back to a better time.
Let her be. Let her die gracefully with some dignity.
I guess. Yeah, like, I thought it was amazing, you know, that Oprah got the award, Whoopi got the award. I mean, you know, Whoopi's done a lot with Disney.
I know.
Including that, you know, black-ass Cinderella with Whitney and her and Brandy.
Oh, poor old Brandy.
I think this is the blackest episode we've ever done.
I agree.
I just want to call this episode Black Girl Magic. Black Nerd Magic.
Blurred Magic.
But seriously, like, it's a really good time, like, to be nerdy and to be black. Like, there's amazing things that are happening and going around, you know? You've got more diverse casts than ever popping up all over the place. I mean, Chris Pine is the dad in Wrinkle in Time. And he has a black daughter.
I know.
Like, come on. This is awesome.
And she has...
super awesome here.
And her little brother's also a cute little mocha.
I mean, come on. Let's talk about this.
And the boy she falls in love with, yeah, he white, but they be using that sepia filter, so he was looking a little golden there.
He was looking, you know, he got the tan. That's cool.
Got some olive skin.
Look, I'm just here for it. The more positive representation and the more opportunities to show all people of all color in positive lights, in entertainment, I'm for. You know, the more that I can see heroes in different shades, the better things are for the generations that come behind me. So I'm all for it. And whether that's in movies,
comics, anime, video games, the more the merrier. Because we all escape to different places. And when my heroes kind of look like me, it's a great fucking feeling. And it just makes my escape space an even safer, welcoming space. And who knows what it can inspire. Okay, if we inspire, if Wrinkle in Time and Black Panther inspire a generation of black entrepreneurs in the creative and technical arts, how fucking dope would that be?
Super dope.
That's super dope. Super dope. So anyway, I need a seamstress because I'm going to have that outfit made, including the headdress. Like, I need that to happen for me in my life. Okay? Because Angela Bassett is my final thought form, and I need to wear it to the premiere of Black Panther. I will probably wear the same outfit to the premiere of A Wrinkle in Time now. And I will probably use it as cosplay when I go to PAX East. I might just have an entire fucking closet made of that outfit and just be black and regal for the rest of my life.
Black and regal. Black, but that should be the song instead of Black and Bougie. Black and regal.
As Bad and Bougie is the song. And Fuck Me goes, second, Black and Regal. That's the anthem for life. That's that Jendena shit.
I drink to that.
I drink to that too. So that's pretty much what I have for this episode of the podcast. I will have some anime stuff because there's a bunch of new anime that just plopped down on Crunchyroll that I need to check out. So I will have some anime stuff for you guys next week. Hopefully, I will be able to get into and play some of the open beta of Destiny 2, which goes live on the 21st. Before we do the podcast next week. And maybe, just maybe, Panda will jump in it too so that we can have a combined topic to talk about. Because it is a free open beta.
I see what you're trying to do, sis. I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I threw down a challenge. So.
Yep. Yep, you did that.
I did that. That was done by me. So, you know, respect that.
Yep.
About that. Make sure, if you enjoyed our podcast, that you check out our site, electricsisterhood.com. We have links to our podcast there right on the homepage, as well as some great articles, editorials, reviews, previews from the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh. So bookmark our site. Definitely subscribe to our podcast, which you can get. You can listen to right on the site if you want to. But you can also get the podcast through iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe. You can also get our podcast on Stitcher Radio. You can find it on VogNetwork.com. Pretty much any place, Google Play. I mean, any place that aggregates a podcast, you can find our cast. So make sure that you subscribe. Get in where you fit in. And let your friends know that you enjoy us. Share us around. Get other people to subscribe. Because we do this as much for you guys as we do it for ourselves. If you enjoy our show, then definitely make sure that you check out all the great sites and shows that make up our network, our family here on the internet. And that starts with the B3Crew.com, No Borders, No Race podcast held down by our homie, King Baby Duck. I'm telling you, if you like anything indie, J-pop, K-pop, music, anime, manga, games, entertainment in general, definitely check out B3Crew.com and the No Borders, No Race, also available in iTunes. Subscribe, get new episodes every week. KBD spins new stuff all the time. And you can even learn a little Japanese while you listen. So definitely make sure that you check it out. Also, on Wednesdays, our homie Hamsterman2049 is streaming on Twitch Live, new games and old. Just hit up our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. To get the link, but he does that every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern. And like I said, new games and old, you can pop in the chat, be part of the gameplay live, but definitely, definitely check it out. It is a fun time. For Thursday, our recommendation is to definitely check out Phil the Issues Guy at issuesprogram.com and also on YouTube, Phil's recaps and reviews. I'm telling you, some of the best and most fun recap shows ever on the planet. Okay? On the planet. Phil's recap and review. So definitely make sure you check out the site and the recap. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Call in live. Be part of chat live. Like, it is absolutely amazing.
you definitely want to get on it, so make sure that you do. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, covering the stuff that nerds crave. Comic books, anime, manga, video games, TV shows, you name it. They got opinions about it. So make sure that you check out nerdcrave.com and all of the homies over there just keeping stuff fun and nerdy all the way around. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, like I said, facebook.com/Landavesh. You can get us on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. And if there's something that you want us to check out, review, or talk about, just hit us up and make the recommendation. If we use it in a show, we'll give you a shout out and we'll actually talk about your thing. So make sure that you engage with us because we love taking your questions and hearing your feedback on what it is that we're doing and what we've got going on. And as always, we enjoy you. So signing off, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week. I thought you were going to say something.
I thought you were going to say something. That's why I was waiting for you to say something.
No, because I usually say something, then you say something, and then I say titties.
But usually you're like, we out. And then I say, stay classy. And then you're like, titties.
And that's what I said. Until next week. And you were going to say, stay classy.
Stay classy. Like, titties.
But you didn't. Stay classy, titties.
Titties.
Titties.